Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Good morning, everybody.
Early call timers. There's JJ over there.
Hello.
I'm here. Nadav is not here because he did not want to meet our next guest, which is television writer Vivian Lee. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hi, guys.
Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
The audience.
Very exciting.
Round of indifference. So JJ and I have both worked with you.
Yes, you did.
I worked with you on a television series called Stitchers.
One would say we are still working together.
You?
Sure.
Yeah.
And then I worked with JJ on
Gossip Girl
and Carrie Diaries.
And Carrie Diaries. Yep.
Craziness.
Yeah. What experience was better for you?
Yeah. What experience was better for you?
Being a script coordinator on a show or being a writer on a show.
Whoa.
Where I can boss the script coordinator around.
I'm waiting for your answer.
Stitches.
Where's
Stitches.
My money?
Stitches.
In terms of who do you like better as a person?
Mm. Oh.
JJ. Yeah.
JJ did make me coffee.
See?
JJ did make me coffee. The first thing you said to me was a racist joke when I walked in.
What did I not?
You said, hey, Chinese person, take off your shoes.
I did not say the term Chinese person.
Which I must commend you for, because you don't ever call me a Chinese person. You call me every other Asian slur. Wow. Hey, Chinese person, take off your shoes before you come to
I deny that claim.
You responded to her email in the derogatory tone that you did.
What did I say?
I don't want to repeat it.
I don't even remember. I say so many derogatory things in email. That
I was going to say, I'm sorry. I have to apologize for my friend. He's a bit slow.
If there's ever an ABC Family hack, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
I'm not. ABC Family is my network.
It's a good heat. They're good employers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about that? ABC Family. So, What's your deal?
What's my story? I was told
we're doing a new segment
questions.
Called "What's Your Deal." That's a question, is it not?
So, what's my deal?
So what's your deal?
What's your deal?
What's your situation? So you're a writer.
I'm a writer.
You're not from here.
I am not. I'm from Colorado.
Yeah.
From a small town called Loveland, Colorado. It's about an hour north of Denver.
Okay.
If people are familiar with like Fort Collins, Greeley, we're sorted in that. Not mixed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It is. Colorado girl.
We do a Fort Collins podcast on Thursday afternoons. That's going to be my running gag now, by the way.
We have a furniture podcast on Tuesdays.
Yeah. We talk about furniture. So
we're developing a network or something.
Yeah, we're developing a network.
Of really bad podcasts that no one cares about.
Yeah.
So what got you into the biz?
Well,
yeah.
This feels like one of those general meetings. Now I have to do my spiel.
Oh, that was the door slamming.
Yeah, it scared me too.
Our studio is haunted. I forgot to mention that. Haunted.
And then the door's opening.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh, it was the floor. Okay, so you. Go.
All right, this is exciting. This is exciting.
And action.
Radio theater right now.
Go.
Colorado, went to. I went to Indiana University.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Went to Indiana University. Was going to plan on being a psychiatrist. That was my goal.
That would be a great place to go for a psychiatrist.
It was, because I have a really good pre-med when I was there. And first semester there, I had to take, this is that story, the quantum physics, and got an F. And then I realized, oh, I don't like math. Oh no. I have to be a psychiatrist. They have to do math. And I was like, nope. And then
They do.
You have to take a lot of science courses. And the only reason why I wanted to be a psychiatrist was because I just loved talking to people and hearing them tell stories.
You should do a podcast.
I have a voice of a 3-year-old.
I have a voice of a three-year-old,
but I'm going to own it.
You have a lovely voice. Mm-hmm. You know how many people have said, do you know Vivian Lee? And I was like, yes. And they say, she has a lovely voice.
No one has ever said that.
Chris said that he loved ADR from you because your voice is perfect for
ADR. What are you
ADR.
Doing
for
at ADR?
A teenage girl? Yeah, everything I did with ADR was Gossip Girl, Carrie
Diary. Oh, like you did temp
Ghost
ADR? Whisper, did you do actually?
Yeah, no, like temp ADR.
While
on Ghost Whisper.
The tone of your voice is great.
Yeah, 13-year-old.
I'm just saying.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you for taking a compliment correctly.
Wait, let me listen to your voice.
Should I just keep telling my story then?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, went to Yale University, thought I was going to be a psychiatrist, freaked out, realized I didn't like math. And that was that first week, again, it was that first week of school, or the first week I took those tests. And then I called my brother crying, going, I just wasted our parents' money. I don't know what I'm doing here. I love the campus, but I honestly don't know what I want to do.
Beautiful
and I'm
campus.
Crying. And my brother goes, ugh. Well, what makes you happy? What do you enjoy? And I go, I don't know, television? Then do something in that. Click. And that was pretty much it. And and luckily, Indiana University had this good telecommunication school, so I kind of I transferred over, did that, loved it, didn't like the production stuff. Then I ended up transferring back to Colorado, to University of Colorado, where I got my I did film studies and journalism because my parents didn't know what film studies was. So I had to explain to them, well, it's like journalism. I'll study journalism, too. And they'd be like, oh, you mean like a Connie Chung? Oh, yeah. They got they could wrap their
heads. Let's hear more of that conversation.
More of that, please.
Well, you know, if make a Connie Chung, it would make a very good money. So, you know, and you know, my daughter has a pretty face. So that was it. So I just sold them on that. Have you ever? Jenny's never heard me do my parents. Have you?
Oh,
but that's exactly.
We spent a lot of hours in the writer's room listening to Vivian's mom.
Pretty face.
Talk about how ridiculous.
You know, my daughter. She's a pretty face. You know, she can be on like TV. Yeah, of course. So I'll just be a journalist. Yeah. Okay. You do that. So that's what I did, and I didn't. I didn't become a journalist. Mm. I became a television writer.
Well, there you go.
So then. Got a job at San Diego, the WB affiliate there.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
Yeah, you didn't know this? So I lived there for about a year, worked at the WB affiliate. I was one who wrote things like, I was a creative service assistant, wrote little tags like in between commercials where they go, T and Tamara are going on a shopping spree next on Sister Sister. KSWB 569. Like I wrote that stuff. Again, didn't really know what I wanted to do. Knew I needed to get to L.A., didn't know how, and that's when I found the NBC Page program.
Well, the five. You just take
it. I take the five. I took the five, drove to Burbank, applied for the NBC Page program. Then they accepted me. And then I came to L.A. Yeah.
I didn't know you were a
you
Page.
You didn't know I was a Page?
No. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's I apologize. I'm drinking right now.
It's okay.
Heavily drinking.
Well, it is Sunday.
Yeah, because Uber and I just rebonded because we were both NBC Pages.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's how I came to L.A. Well, and then just became a production assistant on reality shows, a lot of reality shows for years. So anyone who's listening out there who's been a PA for like 5-6 years, I totally get it. It blows. But, you know, keep going. Dreams happen.
Persistence.
So how do you make that jump from being a PA to
being a
writer's type?
I always hate it. I was always asked other writers the same questions. Is they're all like, oh, I was a PA and then I started writing for Law and Order, and you're like, there's something.
Wait a minute.
There's a missing piece that you're
not
telling us.
And that's what we're trying
to
get down
to. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
So was a reality, like I did a lot of reality shows as a PA, and then finally got into, NBC had a program called,
Writers on the Verge.
No. Oh. No, the TV show, American Dreams. What's the one? Is it the American Dreams?
No.
NBC show, American
was
Dreams.
Was that NBC?
Yeah, it did Clark Production.
That was ABC.
No, it was NBC. It was definitely, but American Dreams. It was like about the bandstand. It was like a drama about a family whose daughter was a dancer on a bandstand. That was the first scripted show I worked on. I was a PA there. And when I was there, you know, I just met people. I didn't really know the writers, but, you know, I was the one delivering scripts. And one of the executive assistant asked me, oh, what do you want to do? And I went, I want to be a writer. Like I just said, I was like, I want to be a writer. And that always, and that's, again, something that I always like to tell people about is that you might see yourself or you mean like, oh, I'm a PA now or I'm a waiter or whatever. But you need to tell people around you who you actually are. You need to tell them, I am a writer. Oh, and then whether or not they can help you, that's not the issue. But to identify yourself like that and to make someone else see you as a writer, that's a huge thing. And it just keeps reminding you of, and you never know where that conversation will lead to.
No.
So as an executive assistant, she's like, oh. And then she went on to Ghost Whisperer when American Dreams wrapped. And she's like, oh, I remember a girl named Vivian. She wanted to be in the writer's room. There's a writer assistant position opening up. Hey, Vivian, you always were a great PA. You want to, you want to be a writer's assistant. And I went, yep, that sounds great. So was a writer's assistant on Ghost Whisperer for about 3 months, and they bumped me up to script coordinator because our script coordinator left to do another show. And then I just was a script coordinator on Ghost Whisperer for 3 seasons. Third season, finally got to split a script with another assistant, and it was the episode where the lead, I guess his character's name was Jim, on Ghost Whisperer. So the husband, we got to kill off the husband in our episode.
Oh, cool.
It was great. I got angry emails. I got angry fan letters. It was exciting. And then from there, everything started kind of coming together. It was like the minute you get your name on a script that's been produced, I went to NBC's Writers on the Verge program, which is a writing program specifically geared for diversity writers. So I submitted for that, got in. And then, got an agent through Ghost Whisperer. It just kind of became, all of a sudden, I got an agent. I had a lawyer. I had a manager. I had all these people that I was in paying. But that was really exciting for a while there.
To have people that you didn't pay.
They were going to take percentages of my zero paycheck.
Right.
Then a friend of mine, we wrote, pages. My friend Annie Black was a page. And he was like, oh, we have a friend named Kelly Garrett, who was also a page.
I did not know that.
ABC Family, and goes, oh, Kelly Garrett always said that ABC Family is always looking for Christmas movies. And she's always been very open, because we all sort of knew each other. So we went in and pitched to ABC Family a Christmas movie of the week, and they bought it in the room. And I was like, this is easy. I totally can do this.
Yeah.
And then just from there on, just was, Andy and I did a video game. We wrote for a video game called Dead to Rights. Dead to Rights Retribution.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just kind of started, just like little projects here and there. And then the first show I actually got staffed on was Chaos, which is a CBS show, I feel like in 2011, 2010. Yeah, 2010, 2011 season. I did that backwards. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll fix that in post.
But that's like, that was my
we'll
first.
We'll have you ADR your own interview.
My temp ADR voice.
Yeah.
And then it just, I wrote on Chaos, that was for the whole season. That was like 22 episodes. It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
But Chaos was kind of, as the name suggested, it was chaos. It was a show that was supposed to be comedic and lighter tone. It was like The Office meets the CIA. But then Fox bought it and was like, no, we're making it a strict procedural. This is what we're doing. So as a new writer, it was interesting to see the showrunner's ideas essentially change. And everyone in the room, at that point, we had written up to like 3 episodes, and we literally had to stop and rewind and change everything. And like I said, being as a staff writer, it was because there was no... I did my best, and I worked hard, but there was really no stakes for me, so I was able to, step back and watch. It was a season of the show that felt like it took 3 years to make because everything was just kind of, everything was always high intense. We were splitting up scripts. We were, just desperately trying to make the network happy. We were shooting in Vancouver, so none of the actors even got any sort of feedback from anyone. So they were up there in the cold. Everyone was – I don't want to say everyone was miserable, but it was a really – interesting experience where we didn't know where the show was going and everyone did their best, but it was such a hodgepodge of emotions, but I had a great it was a learning experience for me. And then from then wasn't a writer for a while. I went back to being a script coordinator, which sort of sucked, but
yeah,
I would imagine.
But work is work,
and it's one of those things. And I have friends in the situations, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, I finally made it. I'm finally an actor. I'm finally a writer. I wrote that first, I just directed that feature that film that got into Sundance. It was great. This is right. My career's taking off.
Yeah.
But there are many times where you're like, nope, it's just, you made progress, but sometimes things happen for whatever reason, and you have to go back and wait those tables, be a script coordinator, mm-hmm. be a PA, and it sucks. It totally sucks. That being said, you do have to keep going, and you do right. have to pay your bills. You do have to make the best of it and think, well, I'm still young. Like, I can bitch and moan about it, but tomorrow I'm going to be a little older, so I might as mm-hmm. well get back in there, meet the new people that I need to meet, and, you know, hopefully keep writing, keep acting, keep doing what you want to do, and hopefully you'll get that opportunity again, and then this time around, prove yourself more. And I feel like, and that's when I got Stitchers, and I feel like this is my second show I was on, and I was able to, like, prove myself and feel more confident this time around that I did on Chaos. So thank you. Thank you, Andrew Zuber, for bringing me onto the show. I don't know if anyone knows this out
were
there.
Were you script mm-hmm. coordinating when I single-handedly you hired
I
you
was
and
script,
completely yep. saved your life?
I was script coordinating on Supernatural, which oh. is a great show.
You know PJ.
I do. I know PJ. Yeah.
PJ.
He's AP. He was the AP over. I don't know. Is he still there?
He's still there. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. I got a gig working at Supernatural, and they're like, you know, there's probably no room to get a script, and, you know, because, you know, that's always the question that script coordinators or writers ask, like, oh, do I get a script? And I knew I wasn't going to, so in a way it felt really relaxing where I was like, okay, I know this gig as a script coordinator. I know that I'm allotted this time for a reason. So, you know, the moments when I'm done, I'm going to utilize the computer, I'm using like the printer, utilize the snacks and just write. Like,
utilize the snacks
yeah. and be like, and just write. So, and that's when I got you saw Stitchers on Deadline, Hollywood got it picked up, and I was like, oh, hey, agents, this sounds like a great show. And then got an email started getting emails from everyone going, oh, like Rain Management really liked your script. And people started telling me, can we tell the story?
Yeah,
we can.
What's now?
Andrew.
Wait, I don't know what story we're telling.
Andrew called me one day and says, "Do you know Vivian Lee?" And I said, "You need to hire her." It's the truth.
It is the truth.
And he said, "Okay."
That's what. That's exactly. I hadn't even read the script. I thought you were like the actress from the 20s or whatever.
Right. Which would have been amazing too. Which you should have still hired me for Stitchers.
Yeah.
Vivian Lee, the actress.
From the 20s,
being stitched into modern day
1920s
brain.
Actress Vivian Lee comes back as a staff writer. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, so that's pretty much my.
Can you?
Story.
We haven't had a script coordinator on, have we?
No, we haven't. I was going to ask
what in the Sam hell
is a script coordinator?
Is that?
Yeah.
I like to think of myself, I don't know, this is how I picture a script coordinator. Script coordinator is the one that's the troll underneath the bridge that you have to, you know, you're the one that lets, you're the gatekeeper. You're the one mm-hmm. that has to, you know, when the writer's done writing their script, they send it to you and you have to edit and proof it, but, you know, and make sure that everything makes sense. But, you know, and that's the technical stuff you have to do. But with that comes along with, you know, the directors, the ADs, production people calling you up going, where's the script? We need the script. When's the script coming out? Do you know anything about the ETA of the script? So a lot of times it's you having to kind of be that person, because you can't keep going up to the writers and asking that, because that just, A, annoys them, and B, mm-hmm. it's wasting time for them. So as a script creator, your job is to handle those questions, be like, oh, you know, I heard the script's going to come out about 5 o'clock, we should be fine. You know, you're just the ones always communicating with the production office, with the studio network. If they have any questions about the script, they come to you first. They don't bother the showrunner or the writer. So I guess that's
a it's
job.
Helpful to have, like, a strong knowledge of, like, the software.
Yes, a Final Draft, Movie Magic. Yeah, you do. I mean, you learn a lot on the job. If you're a writer out there, you're probably already familiar with the software programs.
Final Draft
and stuff. And all that stuff you can learn.
But it is interesting. Sometimes, like, for whatever reason, something's wonky and we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
and then the script coordinator's like, oh, three buttons, and there you go.
Right. And then we also have, you know, there's a Yahoo script coordinating board that I'm on that sometimes people have questions, and we just, you know, it's a really weird community where we sort of all recognize each other's names. We might not know each other, but we're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so worked on Scorpion or works on, you know, whatever, and is really good about this. You should call him up. He ran into the same problems on Final Draft or screenwriter or whatever. But I'm a adequate script coordinator. I'm not the best. I don't catch everything, and there are a lot of script coordinators out there that are a lot better than me at catching spelling errors and grammatical errors. I'm pretty good at catching story hiccups that don't make sense. But a lot of the reason why that I think people kept asking me back is more out of personality, because I'm charming.
I'm charming
and delightful. But no, but there's a lot of, I mean, and people probably see people out there like this who are either PAs or an assistant level or script coordinators who get really bitter.
Right.
And kind of snooty.
Because they're not getting episodes.
Yeah. And because this is their own little slice of this world, they're going to be so anal retentive and they're going to be like, this is what has to work. You have to do this. And they get really kind of, they get very dismissive of production people. They start getting dismissive of writers. And it just becomes very annoying to be around. Yeah. So I found out early on that as a script coordinator, even if I mess up or even if, you know, I have to stay there till 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for a script that turns out it's not coming out till 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, boy.
You just kind of have to know that that is your job.
Right.
And just, I don't want to say grin and bear it, but just know that that is your job and to utilize this time by like, okay, then I'll read when I'm waiting. I'll write my own stuff or whatever.
Sure.
You have to have a good attitude. And I guess that goes with anything you do.
Yeah. And when you...
Andrew, you gotta have the good attitude as a writer assistant.
Bite me.
there's a, it's not really a hierarchy, but there's a list of drafts that come out, and it goes production draft, and then
earlier than that, there could be a department head draft if you're running late, and it's just for the department heads to read, so they can get a jump on props, set, costumes. That would be a network draft, which would mean when the writer's done, they send it directly to the network, and then we get notes from the network, and then we can do our revisions, and then from there we do a production draft, and then all the various colors that come.
Do
I know the colors?
It's just like a fraternity. You got to go alpha to omega.
So you got first color is white. There was a script coordinator told me this little thing for me to remember. It's like it goes from white to blue to pink to yellow to green to goldenrod, and then everything else I don't really remember.
I think
there's some weird colors on
there's
that
like
chart.
There's like salmon. There's cherry.
Buff.
Buff. I think there's lilac is a color.
Yeah.
But I always, because I was a script coordinator, and my thing is I always end up going to a first year show, so I set the tone. So I always made the cutoff as goldenrod. I'm like, nope. After goldenrod, we're going back to white. And people are like, really? Is that what we're doing? Yep. Because I am not spending money to get 10 cases of cherry that will never
eat. Right. Yeah, that makes
lilac.
Sense.
So that's why I was like, nope. They're like, really? Is that how you work? That's how my system's going to work.
Now,
nice.
I know that in some episode, like Gossip Girl, I know like the end, all our scripts were red.
Oh, jeez Louise. Yeah.
And why was that?
Well, because Gossip Girl is a very, very popular show. I think right from the get-go, I was brought in on the last season of Gossip Girl. And one of the things they told me during my interview was it's a very high security production office because we've had people from other countries able to hack into the writers' emails and find Gossip Girl scripts and post them online.
Pictures.
Or people on set would like find scripts and post them places, find cast lists. It was crazy. So that was the first time. And I'm sure other shows, like I knew a friend who worked on Lost.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Lost was crazy too. My friend Chris worked on Heroes, and that was like that. And as a script coordinator, your job is to make sure to do your best to make everything as secure as possible. And that's like watermarking scripts. Sometimes by the end of Gossip Girl, it was a lot of the scripts were in red. And the reason why is that you can't copy the color red on a copy machine.
Right.
So if they wanted to do scripts, they can't. You just copy it and it ended up just being black pages. We would also, towards the end, we took the script and we would go to Mark Pedowitz's office, and he's the head of CW, and there would be a PA who sat there, watch him read the script, and then take it back and brought it back to the office. Like, we had to do that for the executives. And the executives would be like, well, no, I'm going to read it at home. Oh, no, you're sitting there. We're scheduling time, and we are going to have the PA sit next to you. Make sure you don't send it. Like, their assistants couldn't get it either.
Right.
It was
Why would
insane.
He, of all people,
care?
Or send it out? Like, isn't that...
Because they started, it became really hyper, like, every time there was a leak, it became, well, somebody had to do it. So it had to be from here. Yeah. And it became, well, maybe one was one of the assistants at CW. You know, they always have temp assistants. So it became so, we became so hyper-paranoid about our own people.
Everyone was a detective.
Everyone was a detective, and it became this.
Do you see that little spot right there? That is a little bit of a watermark. You know, like, it was very weird.
It was very weird. And I think you guys, we would only give, the actors, we would only give the actors, like, their own scenes to read. They didn't ever, no one ever got the entire, entire script. You did it because you're the editors. Well, you had to figure out what the bleep, the story you guys were cutting together.
Why don't we have act one?
And it'd be like, we had to, go through and, like, use a Sharpie and block out things. Because I feel like on Ghost Whisperer, the season finale, there was like a bunch of like random guest stars. Or they were going to say a part of the secret of who actually Gossip Girl was.
Yep.
It was in the script, but they didn't want to get it leaked out.
Wait, the show Ghost Whisperer gave away Gossip Girl was.
I was following along.
Gossip Girl.
I think that's a great twist.
It's a great twist.
Yeah, there was a... I know getting a couple of scripts where there were secret pages that some people were allowed to have and some people
We would weren't. Do fake names on the scripts, and it just became this for a script creator. It was a pain in the ass. Like, they would number scripts. Like, I know on Heroes, they would number scripts going, okay, you are assigned number 12. So if we see a number 12 in a trash can or number 12 that's been, you know, scanned and put online, we can trace it back to you.
Right.
So it was very... I don't ever want to be part. I mean, I hope our show Stitchers will reach that level of fandom. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the assistant that has to deal with that.
Do you think Pretty Little Liars is like that?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah?
I'm sure it is. I don't know.
Because it seems like the same kind of show.
Well, and we were going to have the showrunner and the creator's assistant was going to be on our podcast.
To train you guys? On the podcast, right?
Yeah. And Warner Brothers wouldn't let him do it.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know
why would he even ask? I mean, Warner Brothers, that's great. You guys are a great company. But why would he even ask Warner Brothers if he could do a podcast?
I think because if they found out and he hadn't asked, I mean, maybe they've just instilled the fear of
Jesus,
the Roadrunner or whatever. Was that a Warner Brothers cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. And he's been with the show for like 5 seasons.
All right.
So I think it would
have just been due diligent in his responsibility.
Yeah, or I don't know. Yeah. He may have just asked his boss, and then she asked Warner Brothers whatever.
What are you guys going to be talking about? Oh, we might be talking about the show. Oh, nope.
We're just going to give all the stuff away.
They're pretty strict. I mean, the fact that
Warner Brothers is.
Or? Yeah, we're trying to get a Foley artist on the show. Do you know what a Foley artist is?
Mm-hmm. I do.
He is booked. He's going to be on.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show.
When I punch a ham, it sounds like I'm actually punching someone.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Yeah. I know.
So we're gonna go to Warner Brothers, hopefully, and record in the Foley stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So hopefully we can get like him.
That's cool.
You know, this is a punch. And then hopefully.
Well, I can demonstrate that on Zuber right now what a punch
Perfect.
Is.
Perfect. Go for it.
Ow. So that's what a punch sounds like from Vivian. But yeah, they sent us.
It sounds like a very patronizing punch. Is it is. That was. Oh, that was so. You hurt me.
But there's a whole bunch of paperwork.
Yeah.
Involved with that.
Just to walk onto the lot and set up a microphone.
Yeah.
They want all kinds of forms.
But I understand. I can.
Well, and he's doing big show. Like, he's the Foley artist for The Walking Dead.
Oh, well, that's huge.
And he did Breaking Bad, and he's done, like, he's got, like, 500 credits on IMDb.
He breaks lettuce like no one other. Yeah. It's great.
We break stories. He breaks lettuce. Meh.
What by breaking lettuce, you mean he actually breaks a head of lettuce, and it's supposed to sound like a zombie's head?
Perhaps.
It's a sequel to Breaking Bad. It's called Breaking Lettuce. It's just Walter White eating a salad.
That's refreshing.
It's only one episode.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a short kickstart.
It's a 23-minute episode.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That we've...
What kind of writing do you want to do in the future? Do you have something that you've always wanted to do as far as shows or film? Or?
I tend to write dark and a little fucked up. Like, that's my bread and butter.
I don't think that's a genre that the Oscars have, but
you know, it's funny because people always ask me like, what do you like to write, or if there is a genre, what do you mm-hmm. tend to lean towards? And I don't actually ever think of myself as a genre writer or any sort of writer. It's just mm-hmm. like I would like to do a story about. I guess it's just about whatever the stories are. Like currently, I've been kind of in my head thinking about, you know, as a, I don't know if you guys know this, but as an Asian American woman writer.
What?
What? I sound completely white.
I don't think about things like that.
But I felt like, you know, I think it's at a time where, you know, everyone says write what you know. And mm-hmm. for the longest time, I would avoid that. I was like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm Chinese. They already know that I'm Chinese. Everything we do is, I mean, I grew up in the same way you guys grew up, you know, in America. Yeah. You know, it's like, it just like, but then I started realizing, well, you know, obviously there are stories out there that, my own stories that I should be able to talk about. And just because I happen to be Chinese American, I can't just be like, no, I don't want to use my diversity and yeah. exploit it. Oh, no, I'm going to exploit it now. I feel like I'm,
yeah, you should.
I
yeah.
feel like I'm ready to exploit that yeah. part of my life. But anyway, I'm just, I mean, to be serious, I really do. I was thinking about, I need to write a family drama based on, you know, my family that I grew up with and how the similarities and the differences. And I think that's what I've always liked to write. I've always liked to write about outsiders looking mm-hmm. in. Outsiders looking in are outsiders who feel like they're part of a community that they don't quite mesh with. Like, I've always, mm-hmm. like, been really fascinated with identity and stuff. And I've always wanted to do, and then, you know, like, I would love to do a horror movie. But if I do a horror movie, it would have to be specifically about identity or whatever. Or a romantic comedy, it has to be identity. But that's pretty much what I'm thinking about right now, is doing something with like some sort of family drama, which will be very different for me because I've never really written about my family.
Would it be drama because your family sounds hilarious? And I mean literally.
Well, I was going to say, have you written comedy stuff before?
I started off wanting to be a comedic writer, but then I realized how hard it was because I'm not – I think of myself as hilarious. It doesn't come off the page.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
I don't think
that sample that I read.
But because
come
I put
on.
The, because I put okay the
that was
sample,
Jeff's thing.
The
that
sample
was Jeff.
You read had the word yoinks.
Yep.
And her boobs fell out.
Yeah.
So that's if that's what you go for comedy, then I can write boobs popping out of shirts all day.
That opening scene.
All day.
Amazing.
All and not just women's boobs popping out, men's boobs. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm just saying.
Like
that's, I mean, that to me, that's comedy, but that's not necessarily something that I feel like, oh, the level of, I was going to say like Cheers or Frasier, but now that really dates me.
That's okay.
A level of a Big Bang Theory. What?
There you
no.
go.
What?
No.
Big Bang Theory.
No.
I actually kind of like the show.
Don't.
It's funny.
Don't.
There
it's
are,
funny.
There are funny no. moments in the show.
JJ and I have both hung out with Kaylee Cuoco on a number of occasions because she lives up the street. And
oh, she does?
Yeah.
And
I've made eye contact with her, and I said, with my eyes, I said, I know who you are, and I'm going to leave you alone.
And I saw her at Starbucks down the street, and I was like...
Do you know what her order is? Her regular at Starbucks? Is she a latte girl?
I don't, because she was behind me in line, and I did not...
turn around and ask her.
I didn't. Hey, Kaylee Cuoco from The Big Bang Theory. What is your order? I'm guessing it's a white chocolate mocha or a chai, some sort of chai tea latte.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, what are you watching on TV right now? What's good? Talk to me.
My husband and I just finished watching Daredevil.
Oh,
I haven't finished it yet. Oh,
I really like the show.
So good.
Yeah, I'm about 5 episodes
it's
in.
It's so good. And
this is where I watch it usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On the treadmill?
That's great.
Yeah. I finished all of Breaking Bad on this thing.
Did you? Are you caught up?
I've finished.
So are you watching Saul then?
No, not yet.
I know.
I watched 3 episodes and got busy. So
it's all sitting on our DVR.
Yep.
Well, Daredevil is a must. You have to finish it. I think... Because both my husband and I mean, we're my husband more than me, but, you know, we like comic book movies. I grew up with comic books because I have a brother and my cousins are really into comic books. So there's always, and as we know, when there's a superhero movie out there or a superhero TV show, there are people who will just go, yep, awesome. And then there are people who are like, it's Superman's for kids. I mean, I don't need to see superheroes. I mean, really, I mean, how many times are you going to see somebody get powers and get beat up? Oh, my God. But
they don't package it in a weird, like,
they don't do that. I mean,
comic book way.
I don't, exactly. I don't know if it's just because fundamentally Daredevil isn't, I guess he has sort of superpowers. I mean, he's blind.
Yeah.
But they do it in such a way that, and my husband and I keep talking about this all the time, where as a writer, I appreciate that it keeps surprising me. Because I feel like when you're at a point where, if you're a writer or anything, like, you can see the man behind the curtain, the seams, and you're like, oh, you know, if I was right, this is what they're going to do. They're going to do this, and then she's going to do this, and then they're going to fall in love, and then, you know. But it does, every time I'm always surprised. And the way they shoot it is so great. Mm-hmm. Just as an action movie fan, you would love it. Storytelling, the acting is fantastic, and he is a cutie. I mean,
he's pretty.
Too bad he can't see himself.
He's not really blind.
That's okay. He doesn't get it. He can touch himself. That's all he needs.
Wow.
He gets lots of ladies in that show.
He gets a lot of ladies.
That's
hot.
It's kind of like the Foggy. He's always talking about, oh, there's another lady with you. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's
yeah.
But no.
So that's the show Daredevil.
Yeah.
What else have we been watching? You know, you do your Walking Dead. Game of Thrones is back, so that's really exciting. Silicon Valley, which we love.
Yes.
Big on Workaholics. Better Call Saul is you know, wrapped. So Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, all the basics. We we're kind of catching up to The Wire. We're on season 4, 3. I'm looking over the side to my husband.
He's in the studio.
He's in the studio. He's more detail oriented than I am. But
Nadav is in love with The Wire, and he says he can't trust me because I haven't finished it. And finishing it, I haven't even got through the pilot, so
I haven't even started it.
This is the second time I tried watching The Wire. The first time I was just like, I don't understand what anyone's saying. Like, I felt, I'm like, I don't want to do this. It just seems long. But after that third episode, you're like, it's so great because it's sort of like, I equivocate it to Shakespeare. Like, I don't... Mm-hmm. You don't. Do you really understand what's going on in Shakespeare? You don't. I'm sorry, you don't.
Not really.
Nope.
Yeah. But you kind of just kind of have to let that go, watch the acting, and sort of, and the words sort of will come to you, and you go, oh, it's about, oh, so and so is having a fight now. Oh, you know, and The Wire is the same thing. It's like, oh, I don't know any. I'm notorious for not knowing anyone's names on shows. It's like, no, it's the, you know, the drunk cop. The drunk cop got really angry because his ex-wife, you know, and then his buddy, the black guy. the black chubby guy who's really funny. They went out and they went on the train tracks and started drinking, and they're both in it. It's like, but it just, those are the shows I'm watching.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good.
That's a lot of shows.
I can't watch so much shows, but it's like every time there's a new show, people are like, you know, have you watched The Blacklist? The Blacklist is really good, and I do. Don't just look.
Stop recommending.
I get it. I know. Yeah. I know. There's nothing. I have no resistance to watching The Blacklist. No. The only thing I have resist is that I don't have time.
Right.
I just don't have time. Right. What about this Kimmy Schmidt? I know this Kimmy. I know that sounds delightful. I don't have time.
Have you ever heard of this show called MASH?
I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, it's a great show. It revolutionized. Yes, I get it. I get it.
Yep.
I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
I'm never going to watch it.
We had a guest on, the last one we recorded was with Paul Gerlong, and he said that if he wasn't a writer, his wife would probably have left him because he watches so much TV.
Yeah.
And it's unflattering.
It is unflattering.
Because it's like, what are you gonna, I'm going to watch TV. This is my career.
It's, again, like my husband and I were just joking about this the other day. We, like, so it's hiatus right now, but it's also pilot season. So it's a lot of your agents are like, oh, you better watch this show that might be coming back, this other show that's on the bubble, just so as a writer you're prepared when you go into these meetings and you can talk about it.
Right.
And I got off the phone with my manager. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. My husband's like, what? I'm like, I have to watch this show. I mean, thank God it's only for one season, but there's 22 episodes. I don't have time. And my husband Brian's like, oh, wow. Your homework is to watch TV. That's your job. Wow. It's so hard, isn't it? And I'm like, and he's right. I mean, I'm I have to keep reminding myself that it is a job, but it is a job that I love. I mean, if I wasn't working, I would be watching TV. So
that's true.
I was a latchkey kid, so my brother and I would literally hang out at home and just watch TV. And it's I'm comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do it. I would rather, this is terrible. I would rather read. I would rather watch TV than eat.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I might still eat more. But I'm just saying that, but it's right. It's if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be watching the same amount of TV. I would have the same conversations with friends. Did you watch Game of Thrones? Sure. Did you watch Daredevil? I would have this. So it's the added bonus of, oh, this is my job too. Like I get to, there's a possibility maybe one day I get a ride on Daredevil. Maybe one day I can create a show that's as popular or as revolutionary as Breaking Bad. Like that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely.
I'm just a nerd for TV. I'm just a huge nerd for TV.
Do you like to read as well or no?
I do, but
you know,
do I know how to read? I used to read more than I do now, I think. And then it's just years of being a script coordinator. You read so much during the day. It's like you're reading the same script over and over again. And this is no excuse because I do need to read, and that's one of the things I need to put on my to-do list. But I don't read as much as I can. And I don't know if I have the attention span anymore because I'm so used to as a script coordinator, I'm at to a point where I'm like scanning scripts, looking for things that I don't necessarily take the time to comprehend. Like, oh, is this entertaining? Mm-hmm. Oh, do I like this? And so when I read a book, my mind starts to wander because I think to myself, oh, like the way they're writing this, or they broke it up here, or the way the format, it's just weird. But I do need to get back. Now that I'm officially a full-time writer, I'm going to be able to hopefully enjoy reading more.
I've been doing a lot of Audible books, audible.com.
Mm-hmm.
Audible.com.
They're not sponsoring this podcast, but I wish they were.
Yeah, they will.
It's like $14 a month.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a subscription?
Yeah, you can do it as a subscription.
Well,
based.
But then don't you pay for the book still?
No. Oh. It's $14, $14 or $15 a month, and you get a credit.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost, the economical thing to do would be you get your credit and you get a book that's worth, you know, $25.
Right, right.
So it makes it worth the effort. But then they have bargains sometimes where you can pay for 3 credits for half the price or, you know, stuff like that. But
and you like it?
Oh, I absolutely love
it. But do you miss
fly through books?
That sounds like a great deal.
It is a great deal.
But do you actually miss reading? Do you know what I'm saying? Like sitting there and just reading a book?
I feel like I get everything from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Gone Girl.
Yeah, we just finished. JJ and I are married, basically.
We share the Audible account. I let him read the books.
Yeah, I listened to Gone Girl on the way up to Santa Clarita and back.
Yeah.
But don't you see that? I want to get into audiobooks, but there's a part of me, the nerd book part of me, feels like it's cheating. I feel like I'm cheating.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But think about it, though. You're in the car for how long in a day, especially here in LA?
Right.
You're in the car maybe,
no,
let's say, 2 hours.
You're right.
And if you can get your reading in then and you still can get everything from it, it's like I'm doing 2 things at once.
But
it's
are you paying attention? Yeah. Like,
oh, absolutely.
There's a part of me that feels like, because when you listen to the radio or listen to music, you kind of go in and out of attention. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that I feel like if I'm listening to an audiobook, I'm going to do the same thing, just go in and out, and then I'll...
Sometimes you do.
I just feel like it's cheating.
Don't think of it that way.
But you're right. I mean, in LA, LA's time is so precious, half the time we spend in the car, so it does make sense.
And if you miss something, you can go back, like, what, 15 or 30 seconds?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
And like, oh, that didn't really make sense. Okay, let me go back.
Yeah, and I've done that a couple times.
And it's great. Like Amy Poehler's book, I finished in 2 days.
Oh, really?
That was a nice, like Steve Martin's book. He read the book.
Right.
So
it's an added.
Or John Badham's book. He read the book.
And
so
it's great.
The same.
It's great because you get it from that person's voice.
Right. Yeah.
You get all the inflection that they have when
they're
writing.
And you can find all of that on audible.com. Tell them that the Early Call Time podcast sent you there, and they will
give you 25% off.
I wish.
They will give you free books for
1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. It's a new deal that they're running.
And if they don't, they're lying. They're liars. You call their customer service department and you go.
I think we could get in trouble if we keep saying this.
I am not a lawyer, so whatever I'm saying.
If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can automatically log into your Audible account.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Amazon's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I wish that Amazon sponsored our podcast.
That's Amazon.com. Can you talk at all about the...
Take two.
Welcome to the Early Call Time podcast. Our guest today...
Hi, I'm very happy to be here.
Can you talk about the animated stuff that you've done at all?
Oh, yeah. My brother and I, Danny Lee, he goes by Dan because he's an adult now.
Dan.
Danny likes to draw. And I guess this must have been like 10 years ago, maybe. Fox did an animated contest. And my brother goes, "Oh, I have an idea. Like we should do like a quick little flash cartoon." And he's the one that does all the technical stuff. So I was like, "All right, I'll help write it." And the first one we did was about our dad, which we call Mr. Chan, Misunderstood Man. Have you ever seen it, JJ? Mm-hmm.
It sounds intriguing.
And you know, and my brother had like we literally drew all the characters out and we had all these scripts and we submitted and of course nothing happened, but it really got us going, this was sort of right when people were starting doing their own films and doing, you know, just, so my brother was on that kick and we're like, mm-hmm. Well, he can do it, let's do it. So we did like a couple of episodes here and there in maybe like a 2-3 year span. And, we put it on YouTube. Like, again, all my brother did all that stuff because he's a computer genius. Did it on YouTube, you know, did all these contests and stuff. And we actually got a little bit of fame from it because we started getting people calling us or emailing us going, "Oh, we saw your cartoon." And, you know, we met with some production companies here and there, but nothing really. What's hard about animation is something that I found out is that my brother's dream was to write this and then sell it to Cartoon Network or Comedy mm-hmm. Central, you know, and then we'll just write and we'll just produce. But a lot of times is that people call you up going, "Oh, you know how to make it. You know how to write it. Just tell us how much you want."
Right.
And that's it. If it's 50, great. We'll give you 50. And then you guys give us 13 episodes. And it became, and I think a lot of people probably have gone through this who've made stuff, then realized, "Oh, it's fun and games until, you know, a lawyer gets in or, you know, a producer gets in and goes, "Oh, we're going to give you this much. And you won't own the rights to your artwork. You know, it'll be us." And, you know, we started hearing all this stuff. And I think it became like it wasn't as simple as we're just going to sell a TV show. It was like, "Oh, we actually have to draw this. Like, we can't like." And then it just became, so we did that for a while. And then we did a newer one. My brother wanted to do a teaser of an idea that we call BFC called Big Fucking Chicken, which is, sweet. My brother's a huge Power Ranger fan, huge Power Ranger fan. So he had this idea about, and you guys can look it up. It's called I think it's just BFC, about these, it was a cross between Power Rangers and Puppet Master.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so cool. This idea of this chicken, you know, that's like one of those corporation farms that like pump in hormones into chicken. And it's the idea, and again, it's part of if you guys know about Puppet Master, the idea of, you know, this mad scientist who creates the perfect, huge, meaty chicken and then dies. And then it dies in a fiery explosion and his soul is sent into 5 pieces of chicken, which is what Puppet Master was. I mm-hmm. think he was like Jewish toy maker.
Yeah.
Who dies and his soul gets put into all these toys that he created and they become crazy.
And they kill people.
That's awesome.
So essentially that's what BFC is the idea of this mad chemist, mad scientist. He dies, his soul gets into these pieces of chicken. And on their own, they're trying to survive, you know, trying to hide out amongst the people. But when duty calls, like Power Rangers, they come together, they form one big chicken, and they fight whatever monsters. So that was my brother's thing, and we
awesome.
we did it. We actually hired out the animation. My brother designed it, but then we hired an animated company from, I think, from Atlanta, and we did that, and we did a little, you know, film circuit, the short film circuits, and we won a couple contests here.
That's
there.
Really awesome.
And actually, next week we're meeting with Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Saban Group? Because they like saw our short and wanted to talk to us about it. So nothing's gonna happen. I'm gonna say that right now. That being said, it's always nice to get
recognition.
No, it is nice to get recognition, and you know who knows who. It's just getting your name out there and just something that, because you know a lot of my stuff that I write ends up being drama. I don't tap into the comedy side. So when they see this, it's like, "Oh, well, that's interesting. She can do that." So
yeah.
I'm never big on saying no to anything. So that would be.
That's why you came on the podcast.
I said yes.
Yeah.
And they go, and my husband, "Doesn't that make you nervous?" And I said, "Yes."
But see, it hasn't been a bad situation.
No, it hasn't. It's probably not the most riveting of podcasts.
You would be surprised.
Yeah, most of our shows
are you guys riveted?
Really bad.
Yeah.
Really
so
bad.
This is like a 4 out of 10? 5 out of 10.
No, I would say this is probably... 6?
No, it's like a 2.
7.5? I don't know. No.
A 7.5.
I don't know. It's average.
It's average. Okay, good. I like this. If I can shoot for average,
yeah,
that's great. Yeah. I make my parents proud.
Would you make your mother proud?
They would. Oh, you'd be so, I make her so
well,
proud.
You would be surprised on how many people actually listen to the show and don't know what a script coordinator does right. or a staff writer.
It's all those, yeah, all those ins and outs that...
people see the credit, but they're like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
And that's why we have this show.
That's what it is why we have this show.
We're providing a service.
Yep. Wow.
Every once in a while, something really bad happens at a job, and sometimes we talk to people about bad things that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to open my?
I think Vivian
open the scar,
has
the wound one, that I inflicted onto myself.
The baddest.
Should I
things.
Play the theme?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid.
The f*** are you doing?
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
So this is our horror story segment.
Okay.
And you can tell us anonymously.
You mean I don't have to say my name?
You don't have to say your name. Correct.
No one will know that this is my story.
No one will
that
know.
That Vivian Lee said this, yep. right, yeah. that's yep. spreading this horrific yep. thing that she did.
You don't have to give names of other people
okay.
or shows nope. or anything like nope. that. But do you have...
But it is one of the shows that I talked about. Only worked on
that. You didn't have to say that. You could have. You were totally fine.
If you guys want to rewind and replay all the shows I worked for, it's one of those shows.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, we'll get double the listens on this podcast.
Yeah.
So you don't have, like
Is
I
there
said,
a theme,
you
or should I just go ahead and get launched
no,
into
the
it?
No, the theme played already.
Oh, the theme?
Yeah,
and you heard it.
I'm sorry. It was, oh, it was great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right. So should I just go?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm a script coordinator. And as I said before, there are days, usually it's pretty good. It depends on what show you work for. But on this particular show, you know, I usually got out at 6:37, you know, a pretty decent time. For about 2-3 weeks, I wasn't getting off till like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, because I was waiting on a script. And it was one particular person who was notorious for not starting to write scripts until like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. Which always just bug the crap out of me. I mean, writers is your own process or whatever, but there was always a part of me that always resented that because on the flip side, there's production who's like, you guys have a meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Is this script going to be ready?
Right.
And I have to lie and be like, yep, it's coming out. It's right. coming out. And I don't even know. So at this point, it's let's say it's a Wednesday. I, for the next Monday, Tuesday, let's say it's Wednesday, and it's Monday, Tuesday, yeah. I was told, oh, Viv, you're gonna have to stay late, and you know, okay, when? Well, you know, I'm trying to put out a script, okay. And both Monday and Tuesday, you know, the writer comes out and was like, yeah, didn't get to it, sorry. And I was just like, oh, so angry. I don't have a lot of friends, so when I do make plans, I don't.
Really?
But when I do make plans, I try to keep them. I do my best. You know, I'm a big flake too. But at that point, I was like, okay, Wednesday, I have dinner plans at 8. I did a safe. I'm going to do 8. I haven't seen this friend forever. Do it 8.
Yeah.
So come Wednesday around 5 o'clock, this writer comes up to me and goes, you know, it's going to be late again. You know, I think I'm going to need you to stay late. And I went, okay. And she left. And I was so angry because I'm like, I know she went back to her office to not do anything. Like I just, mm-hmm. I knew it. And the night before, the only reason why I stayed late was she didn't want to be the only one in the office. And again, the night before she called me again at 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock, I'm in my, at my desk asleep. She calls me to ask me how to spell.
God.
She calls me and goes, hey Vivian, you're still here. I'm like, yep. She goes, how do you spell Miley Cyrus? And I was like, you motherfucker. You woke me up at 1:30 in the morning. I'm asleep on my keyboard. You have a computer. Like, we all know what Google is. Just Google it. But I'm like, all right, let me look it up. And I'm like, and I told her, and I was just like, motherfucker, if she does this to me on Wednesday, if she has me stay for no reason, I'm pissed
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
So 5 o'clock comes around, I'm going to have you stay. I'm like, motherfucker. Well, when do you think the script will come out? Oh, I mean, think probably within the hour. Great. 6 o'clock, great. I'm still going to be doing her fantastic. And again, I'm usually really good about, like, if something has to happen for work, work comes first for me. But at this point, I already knew this game she was playing, so I was already like, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So by 8 o'clock, go to her office, like, what's going on? She's just, you know, she's like, nope. She's like, oh, I'm still writing. I'm sorry. I'm like, that's fine. And I go back to my office, and I sat there, and I'm like, well, I need to text my friend and tell her I can't come to can't come to dinner. So in my head, I'm still thinking of the writer. Her name, it's a her. Her name's in my head because I'm just angry. I just see her name. It just keeps flashing in my head. So as I'm texting my friend, instead of texting my friend's name to the two part, I text in the writer's name. I put her name in the two part because her name is just, again, echoing in my mind. Mm-hmm. And in the body of the text, I'm like, hey, I can't come to dinner. That motherfucking cunt. I literally, and I don't, look, it's a bad word. I'm just going to say, it's a bad word. I never say that word, but I was so pissed. And it was like 1 o'clock. I was so tired. I was so tired from the nights before. And I'm like, that motherfucking cunt has me, is keeping me in the office again. I'm sorry. We'll do dinner next time. I push send. The minute I push send, this writer comes walking into my office. And her cell phone dings in front of me. And I looked at her, and it was like very, it was very slow-mo, because I was like, oh, Lord, I just pushed, there's no way I pushed send. And her cell phone dings. I couldn't have. There's no way. Then she looks down at her cell phone and goes, Vivian, you just sent me a text. And I, every moment of my life flashed before me, and I was like, that's it. That's it. This is my last day at this job. And I went, And she looks down her cell phone and she reads it and she's mouthing it. Like she goes, And I'm watching her and I don't know what to do. And she looks at me and she pauses and she looks at me and goes, that message wasn't for me, was it? Nope. And I looked at her, and then I started, and I should have just owned it right there, but I didn't. I started backpedaling. I started doing this. It was just a joke, you know, because, you know, we're that type of friends, and I was just calling, and I was just joking. It was a joke. It was a joke. And she went, and then she just turned around and left. And I started laughing. I laughed. I put my head down and I started laughing. Like, I wanted to cry, but I started laughing because I thought to myself, this is a great story if this wasn't happening to me. This is fantastic, but it happened to me. And I was mortified. And I ran to the production office and I told one of the PAs there what I did. And she started laughing. And I go, that's it. It was nice knowing you guys. Like, literally, if I got fired at that moment, I would have been like, yep, absolutely. That was the absolute right thing to do. I'm a bitch. I am sorry. That was unprofessional. Absolutely. Here you go. Here's money back. In fact, here's my paycheck back. Next morning, I came in and I'm like, it's the writer. She's going to tell. Of course, she's going to tell everyone. She's going to tell the showrunner what I said, which was, again, completely offensive. I was tired, and I'm going to say this, but she was acting that way. But that being said, I shouldn't have put it in a text message. Nothing. No one said anything to me that whole day. No one said anything to me. And that's it. Nothing happened.
Really?
Nothing.
Do you think she told anyone?
Oh, I'm sure she did. I absolutely agree that she did.
Yeah.
But the showrunner never came up to me. And I was to the point where I was like, well, I got to get ahead of this. So I started telling people. I'm like, this is what I did. Goodbye, everyone. Like, I literally was like, I'm an asshole. This is what I did. And I told the assistants. I'm like, don't be like me. Don't be like me. This is my last day.
Learn
from my mistakes, guys. It was nice meeting you. Nothing ever happened. But to this day, it's one of the, like, I guess, you know, everybody has a get out of jail for free pass. And I feel like this was, because she was a high level, and she had every right to have me canned. Right. But I hope that it was that 80% of my delightful personality that kept me around.
So, all right, so what do we take away from this?
Don't.
What have we learned?
Don't send text.
Don't send
at work.
Just take a moment. Just take a moment, put the cell phone down, take a walk, come back. Don't text. Don't write the word cunt in a text. If I had written, can't come to dinner, sorry, have to stay late, it would have been fine. But I had to add in some sort of flavor, some sort of, this is my state of mind. Don't do that.
Of course. Yeah.
But there you go. So I'm sorry. Whoever that writer is, you know who you are. I'm sorry. I saw you after that years later. I couldn't look you in the eye. I still won't be able to, but I'm sorry.
Do you feel better for telling the story and apologizing?
No, I don't.
Excellent.
Yes.
I still feel bad because I don't.
It's one of the best horror stories we've had.
It's so awesome.
I don't say the C word. I don't even say it, but I felt free to text it.
Yeah, you know.
Not even just the C word, the motherfucking part of it before, because the C word wasn't enough. Just get hurt. Just really, That's my horror story.
That's a great story.
I love
Thank
that
you.
Story.
Thank you very much.
Gosh.
Good times.
Do you have any advice for future writers of America?
or China.
Whatever.
JJ's my favorite.
That you can share with someone that maybe was in your position or maybe is wants to be a writer. I don't know.
Right. Like what
you get it.
I get it. Like I said before, you just have to have a good attitude. No matter what you do, whatever you do in life. If you are angry, take it wait till you get home and then let it out, you know? Mm-hmm. Be angry that way. But don't bring it out at work, and especially as a writer, don't bring that into the room, because no one wants to be surrounded. No one wants an assistant who's bitter. No one wants to see someone who's angry, have a bad attitude, because if you are in a position who's able to hire that person or give a good recommendation and they see you being all motherfucking cunty about something, they're not going to hire you. They're not, because they wouldn't. It's life's too short, and you know, so just have do your best. If you have to fake it, fake it. If you have to fake that smile, do it, and come home and then cry and drink wine, whatever you need to do. I guess my other thing is, I mean, everyone always says, like, you know, don't give up or whatever, but I think it's just you have to, as a writer, you have to keep writing. There are days where you're like, everyone's going to tell you it's a waste of time, it's never going to happen, you know, you're 40, or you're never going to be able to, how are you going to get married? How are you going to be a writer if you have two kids and, you know, you can't pay for rent? Just, you know, it can be a hobby.
Yeah.
And,
Do you feel that when you were saying, oh no, mm-hmm. it's a waste of time, mm-hmm. is that really from external forces or is that somewhat internal?
I think there's both. I think anybody who wants to chase a believe in themselves and do something that seems so ridiculous. Like I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be a writer. There is a part of you that's smart, not smart, but there is a part of you that wants to protect yourself
mm-hmm.
and tell yourself, look, I know you're a good writer. We all know, you know, you and me, between you and me,
yeah,
you're good. That being said, you might not be that good. Or, you know, there's a bunch of other things and you might not have the luck. You will find reasons to resist. We will find mm-hmm. reasons to stop us. We are our worst enemy. And I truly believe that, you know. People who love you, who believe in you, and it has nothing to do with talent. People who love you will support you. They might not get it.
Right.
So they're not going to be in your way. If you make it, they're going to be the first ones that are going to be like, that's great. Hey, I knew Vivian when she was, oh, that's great. That's my daughter. I'm so proud of her. But ultimately, it's you have to get you have to just be easy on yourself. Just go, look, I need to do the work. Am I a good writer? I don't know. I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for me to prove it, I got to write. I got to keep writing. I got to keep doing it. And even though, like, you know, I had this shitty job where I'm an assistant and I'm almost 40 and what the fuck? Like, I should just go home and just, everyone else has kids. Everyone has that house. Where's my 401k? If you start hearing that and you really start going, then go, then leave. Then this is not for you.
Right.
But if you're able to be like, oh, that, and at the end of the day, you're like, I don't know what else I'm going to do. Like, I literally have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a writer. No matter what, I'm going to be a writer. I might not get paid, but this is what I'm doing. And I'm like, well, you got to do it. Just keep writing. Keep acting. Figure it out. Be smart about it. Save your money, you know, but just stop giving yourself reasons. There are other people out there who will give you reasons. You have no reasons to give you reasons to stop. Like, just mm-hmm. keep going. That's all it is. Just keep going. That's
good advice. And
I saw a dove fly.
I did. It was amazing. Before we sign off, what is your mother's advice for getting into this business?
Do you want me to tell the agent story?
Whatever it is, I just want to hear it from your mother's mouth.
Yeah.
Well, this is how my mom talks. I the first time I got an agent, this is the agent story.
All right.
So my parents don't know really. I mean, they understand what I do, but they don't really understand what I do. Mm-hmm. So to explain, I don't know even how to say agent in Chinese. My family's Chinese. I speak Mandarin. So I'm trying to translate this to my parents over the phone. I'm like, oh my God, I got an agent. And as is any writer out there, getting an agent is huge. It's a huge deal. So I'm so excited. I'm like, hey, Mom, I got an agent. She goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. She has no idea what it is. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. I'm so proud of you. Oh, yeah, my daughter, she's a worker very, very hard. Well, so how much you gotta pay the agent? And I go, well, it's not like there's not like a flat fee. It's just they get 10%. Oh, okay. The first time? No, like every paycheck they take 10%. Oh, she's so disappointing. Oh, well, can you find somebody cheaper? And I was like, no, it's actually industry standard 10%. Oh, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. Mommy should be your agent. Ugh. I have to go now. Click. She was so sad that I couldn't. She was so. It was the best day of my life, but she was so disappointed that I, in her mind, thought I got bamboozled. Like, right. I wasn't going. Like, you know, in her mind, you gotta go to the market. You gotta haggle the price. I didn't haggle. Oh, I feel so bad. It's mommy's fault. She didn't teach you how to find a bargain. It's mommy's fault. It's okay. It's okay. I love you. You're so good, but you know, you could ask. You know, it's okay. If they say no, you go, okay, okay. You know, that's my advice for my parents. Always find the bargain. Do you really need the agent? I mean, mommy can call. You just like, make a phone call? Okay, I can do it. I can make a phone call. Just give me the number. Hi, my daughter Vivian Lee, very good. Hire her. 10%. Mommy, take a 5. Mommy, take 5%. That's it. Oh, I'm very lucky. My parents are very supportive. For Chinese Americans, they're very immigrants. They're very supportive of what I do, even though they don't understand. That's it. Anyway, just keep on going, guys. Keep dreaming.
Your friend Jimmy had a mom. It's very similar.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you do cocaine?
Yeah. She asked him if he did cocaine. He produced a Showrunners documentary.
Uh-huh.
That's now on Netflix. Actually, you should check it out.
We might have watched that. What is it called?
Showrunners. The Art of Running a Show. It was a big.
Yeah, I think it was on.
Right. It's a great documentary.
Yeah,
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it came out right when we were starting at CBS Radford. I think around then. Anyway, yeah, his parents asked him if he did cocaine. He was like, "No, Mom, I'm not doing cocaine.
Yeah, not yet. I'm not at that level yet."
Yeah. Well, this has been informative.
Has it? Has it been informative?
It's been nice to catch up with you.
It was nice to catch up with you.
Yeah. I think, when was the last time? It had to have been 2 or 3 years ago, at least.
Is it really two or three years ago?
Feels like it, but maybe.
No, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
But
it was nice seeing you again,
though. We'd see each other every day.
Every day. I would go into your office because you would be like, we need a line. And I'm like, mother.
Yeah. I don't want to ask you, but.
I know. But you're always really sweet about it.
I tried to do all the lines for you so you'd only have to come in once. She had the lovely job of reading for Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So she would do all the lines.
Nice.
So.
Because she has a lovely voice. I have to ask myself, should I have sex on the first date? Vivian, can you do it with a little bit? Can you slow it down? Okay. Then I should ask myself, should I have sex on the first date? Nope. Pick it up. Should I have sex on the first date? Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It's great direction. It's great.
Perfect.
This has been fun, guys. Thank you for inviting me.
For the listeners that would like to maybe follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. Oh, shoot. What is my Twitter handle?
I don't know.
The Viv 86. Look at that.
It is.
Wow.
The Viv 86.
Nice.
Yeah, be friends with me. I'm not very popular yet, so I'll talk to you.
Sweet.
It's true.
But no crazies. You're a little crazy. A little crazy. Everyone's a little crazy.
You know what? They might be crazy, but at least it's attention.
Huh. I've never heard it worded quite like that.
No, I mean,
I like that. I like that. I need the attention.
Yeah, I wish I had stalkers, you know, whatever. But
someday.
You have a Twitter handle as well.
I do. Mine's The Real Zuber.
And I am JJ Geiger 711.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you can also follow us, the Early Call Time podcast.
Yeah.
At Early Call Time. If you have questions or concerns about the podcast, if you don't like it, and want to call us, you can call us at our hotline.
Yes.
267-225-CHAT.
Right.
You could also text us at that number as well.
Yeah, or you can email us, earlycalltime@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram.
Yep.
We're on Facebook.
Yep. We should get a Pinterest.
Yeah, I don't know what we'd put on it, but
recipes.
Pictures of Davenports.
Like pot roast. Yeah.
Yeah. The early call time pot roast.
Yeah.
On a Davenport.
Oh, gosh. You can also listen to our furniture podcast on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Where Paul will be joining us next week.
Paul, the furniture guy?
Yeah.
It's nice.
None of this is real. Don't actually try and find our furniture.
I'm going to be like, oh, I have to listen to this podcast. They're going to talk about Danish furniture today. Modern Danish. That sounds great.
Have you guys heard the Armoire episode? Epic.
Oh, boy. Well, without further ado.
Who knew there were so many different types of coffee table? Glass. Underrated. Didn't know that. First coffee table invented in glass in 1841. Commissioned by John Adams. Days are completely wrong. Who knew?
Wow.
Yeah.
No one.
No one knew. No one knew because it was made up. I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
I guess listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.